I'd like to read, first of all, the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers, chapter 13. And I'm going to divide the time best I can. I might even leave somebody a little longer than I take myself, so I don't want to be too long. Numbers, chapter 13, and verse 22. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Aman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates, and of the figs. Now turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, verse 11. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. Thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Now chapter 16. Verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Now, a final reading in 2 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go up? And he said unto Hebron. Now God will bless too as the reading of his own precious word. Now I want to speak a little bit about fellowship or communion and follow on with that which we have heard already. And I should point out, of course, a little bit of what fellowship really is. When we speak about being in fellowship in the assemblies, we're not speaking about membership. We know one time there were two men in Michigan. They went into a city to preach the gospel, and they found an old church building hadn't been used for a long while, and they asked the man next door, who was the caretaker, if they could rent the building. And they went in to see it, and one of them went up to the pulpit, and he found two books. One was an old Bible that hadn't been used very much recently, lots of dust on it. And the other one was a book, and in it were lots of names that were written down. And he noticed that all the names were crossed off, except the last two names. So he asked him, what is this book? Well, he said, that's the book of all that were members in this church. And he said, well, how come their names are crossed off? Well, they said, we crossed off all the ones that couldn't keep the law. Well, he said, well, who are these two at the bottom? Well, he said, that's the wife and me. We're the bookkeepers. Well, we're not speaking about a membership like that. And yet, you know, we could be in fellowship in a scriptural assembly. That is considered to be in fellowship and maybe not be in fellowship at all. One time, and I'm not here to tell stories, but I'm just going to tell you a couple to get started anyhow. One time there was a brother, and Brother Abernethy here knows him. He ran after my father, a man called Charlie McGee, and they were just coming away from the breaking of bread meeting. And my father said, well, Charlie, he said, were you in the meeting this morning? Well, he said, sure you saw me. I was sitting there right in my usual seat. He said, I didn't ask you if you were at the meeting. I asked you if you were in it. So you see, we can be at meetings without really entering in to the knowledge of being right in the fellowship. And that's what I want to speak about here. Because, you see, this name Hebron, it means fellowship or friendship or communion or companionship. And in contrast to that, we read of that other place called Zor, and Zor means motion or restlessness. So there would be really opposites. To be in fellowship, to be really enjoying the place that God has brought me into, that would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? And because Hebron was a great place. We read about Hebron, some things about it, and they went on to up to Hebron. It was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. So I would take it that it was God's mind away before the world was made, for Egypt we know is a picture of the world. Before there ever was a world, God wanted men and women to be in fellowship with Him. That's God's great desire to bring them into the place of enjoyment. God is enjoying the fellowship of His Son, communion with the Son and with the Spirit. And we're brought into this same place. And that was God's intention. Not that man would continue in the world, but God saved us out of the world. Why? To bring us into this wonderful place of fellowship. So it was in God's mind before the world ever was made. And then it says they came onto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And there not only were there grapes there, but there were pomegranates there and there were figs there. Now, these grapes of Eshcol, I can never read words like this without thinking of what Paul said to the saints at Ephesus when he spoke of the Holy Spirit being the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. You see, we're not going to be able to enter fully into that fellowship until we're right at home in heaven. When we're in heaven, we're going to enjoy it to its full, but we can enjoy it in good measure now. And the grapes of Eshcol, grapes speak of joy, and they were to show the people what lay ahead in the land, the glorious land that God was bringing them into. But these great big grapes brought right out into the wilderness, as much as to say, this is the place that we're going to. God is bringing us into a great place, to land flowing with milk and honey. That's God's intention. But while you're in the wilderness, God brings this great big cluster out to them. And I know if I had been there, I would have likely wanted to get my hands at least on one of those grapes. And I would have enjoyed it out in the wilderness, and I would have thought, why, this is what God is bringing me into. A place of joy, a place of cheer, pomegranates, a place of fruitfulness. And figs, there's nothing sweeter than figs. Isn't that what the proverb says? Sweetness. That's the place that God saved me to bring me into. A place of joy and a place of cheer, a place of fruitfulness. Not just bearing fruit, that is, seeing others saved, but a place where God can get something from me. And it's a place of sweetness. That was God's intention. Now, of course, there are many, many references to this place, Hebron, in the Word of God. We didn't read them all, but I'm going to mention some and then go into the ones that we have mentioned. We read that Abraham was a pilgrim in Hebron. Way back in Genesis 13, verse 18, we find that Abraham, he built an altar and he pitched his tent in Hebron. Now, of course, that speaks volumes to us. You know, God saved us and we might have a link with heaven. We can't be separated from the world unless we're separated unto the glorious person of the Lord Jesus. At least we can't enjoy it unless we are. And the altar was Abraham's link with heaven. When the Spirit of God was sent down, that was our link with heaven. The woman at the well, John chapter 4, she got a good drink of water and it satisfied her. She didn't need to go back into the water of the wells of this world. She had something that really satisfied, something better than the world. But in John chapter 7, it goes a step further. And the Lord Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of this water, maybe I'm not just quoting it right, but will give you the sense of it anyhow. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And it says then, this he spoke of the Spirit that was not yet given because Christ wasn't glorified. But now we have the Spirit, we have that link with heaven, that's the altar. We need an altar to link us to heaven. And the tent is a symbol of the pilgrim that's separated from the world. So we have a pilgrim in Hebron. And then in chapter 18, we have the purposes of God revealed in Hebron. That is in Genesis 18. For God told Abraham the things. He said, I can't hide these things from my servant. And if you want to understand the word of God, we'll never understand it all. But if you want to get a little bit by the way, and this is what we all should go in for, getting to know Christ a little better, day by day. If we want to do that, we'll have to get right into his presence. We'll have to get into Hebron. That's where God revealed what he was going to do. When the disciples wanted to know, when Peter wanted to know, who is it that's going to betray you? Well, he didn't ask Judas. He didn't ask James. But he asked John. John was a man really that was in Hebron. The man that was in the bosom of the Lord Jesus. That's the kind of a person you would go to if you want the answer or if you want a little counsel, whatever your problems are. You go to the man that has the purposes of God revealed to him in Hebron. And then in chapter 35 of Genesis, we find that there was a man died in Hebron. That was Isaac. And I'll tell you, I would love to not only live in Hebron, but I'd like to die in Hebron. I like the United States too, you know, but I'm not speaking about that. I'm speaking about something in a spiritual way. To live in fellowship with the Lord and in fellowship with the Lord's people. First of all, I suppose we should emphasize this great fact that before I can really enjoy the fellowship of the Lord's people, I have to be in the enjoyment of the fellowship of the Lord himself. We've been saved and brought into the fellowship of the Father and of the Son. And then we're brought into the fellowship of the saints. But first of all, it's the fellowship with him. And when the time comes, if the Lord be not come, and I'm taken by way of death, I'd like to go out being in fellowship with my brethren. I'd like to be in fellowship with my preaching brethren too. I hope I am. Maybe they're not in fellowship with me, but I'm in fellowship with all of them. It's a great thing to really be in fellowship with your brethren and in the assembly where you are. And sometimes I've thought, you know, when we sit down in the assembly and someone comes in, I wonder, do we think of them like they thought of the prodigal? You know, when the prodigal came in, and, well, they were all glad to see him. Sometimes you say, oh, look who's here. When you go to a conference and you wonder, what's he going to give us this conference? And you're dependent on man. Oftentimes we're like that. And when the saints come in, you say, oh, she's here tonight again. And maybe you're not too keen on her or him or whatever it is. Well, you see, we're not then enjoying the fellowship. If we can't see our Christ and our brethren and sisters, we should see them in Christ. And we can enjoy this fellowship. Then, in chapter 37 of Genesis, we read of Joseph, and he was sent out of Hebron. He was sent out of the vale of Hebron to his brethren. And I thought maybe that's the key to what I'm trying to say here this afternoon. The Lord Jesus left the throne of the Father. He left that place of triune delight. He left that place of perfect fellowship, the valley of Hebron, and he came down to the vale of tears. He came to his brethren, and just as Joseph was rejected by his brethren, the Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was in the world, and the world knew him not. Whether it was the Jew or the Gentile, there was no place for the Lord Jesus in the world, and yet he left that lovely place of joy and delight and communion. And he came down to the cross at Calvary. And there at Calvary, he was forsaken of his God. And we hear those agonizing words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he went into that thick darkness. where the waves and the billows of the wrath of God rolled over him there. Why did he go through the agonies of the cross? Well, one reason was so that you and I, dear brethren and sisters, might be brought into this sweet place of fellowship with the Godhead and of fellowship with the saints. When I read John 14, I just don't think that everything's in the future there, you know. It starts off in my Father's house are many places of abode, are many mansions. But then it goes on to show how that I can be in fellowship with the Godhead down here, fellowship with the Son. I can know the Father, I can see the Father, I can come to the Father. And then those scriptures we were considering a little bit yesterday, introduced to the person of the Holy Spirit. This is where God has brought me into. Before we get into chapter 15, bearing fruit for God amongst the saints and bearing fruit for God out in the world, first of all, it's having that communion with divine persons. Now, in Joshua where we read of a man that we'll call that the prize of Hebron. Joseph is the person of the beloved son in Hebron, but here we have the prize of Hebron. Here's a man, Joshua, and he had an inheritance. And he's just as strong about it now as he was in those earlier days. I wonder, are we just as strong about the truths of God's assembly? Are we willing to contend for the truth once delivered to the saints? The men in the days of Nehemiah, they built a wall, they had a trowel in one hand, and they had a sword in the other. We're told to build up ourselves in our most holy faith. That would be the trowel. And to earnestly contend for the truth once delivered to the saints. I wonder, do we prize the assembly? Is it really near to our hearts? Is the assembly in our hearts? You say there are difficulties there. I know there are. There were difficulties here too. There were giants in the land in those days. But that didn't stop this man, Joshua. He knew that God was greater than all the giants. And we know that God is far greater than any problems that we might have. And the most of the problems that I've found amongst the Lord's people, they're really very small problems. They really don't amount to too much. Personality problems that could be settled very easily if we would just realize where we are and what we are. Brought into this fellowship, how could we be at loggerheads if we're brought... Well, it's not a battleship, is it? It's a fellowship that we're brought into. And God expects us to enjoy that fellowship. So, the prize of Hebron. And then in Judges 16, we have what I would call power in Hebron. I believe that Samson, if you trace his life, you'll find that amongst other things, he's a picture of those seven churches in Asia that our brother has been referring to. And when we think of the harlot, well, we think of that vast system of Roman Catholicism. And when we think of the sufferings and so forth, I really don't want to get into details, but I'm sure you can see that here's a man, and he's getting involved in the world. But you know, the Nazarite can't be bound. Christendom would bind the Nazarite, whether it's Catholicism or Roman Catholicism or Protestantism. The Nazarite is bound. And perhaps the man that's sitting in the pew or the seat is the man that God would have on the platform or in the pulpit. But this Nazarite can't be bound. And this devotedness and this strength, the church at Philadelphia had a little strength, and I believe it was if we could use the expression, a Nazarite church, because the Lord said, let no man take thy crown. And I don't think that was a crown in the future. I believe that was their crown, their devotedness, the long hair of the Nazarite. And that's what God wants us to have as well. And he said, you have a little strength. And this man couldn't be bound, and when things were at their darkest, God worked amongst men, and he raised up men in the power of the Spirit of God. And men couldn't hold them down. When God opens a door, no man can shut it. And they went right to Samson went right up to the hill at the gates of the city. And he says he went before Hebron. I must close real fast. This here, 2 Samuel, I hardly need to say a word about it. We have the preeminent one in Hebron. That's what makes it a great place. Bethlehem, the prophet said, was least among the thousands of Judah. But when we come to the New Testament, it says, thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, art in no wise least among the thousands of Judah. What made the difference? The presence of the Lord. The babe was there in Bethlehem. And here's the difference here. The Lord Jesus, or David here, of course, a picture of the Lord Jesus. He's crowned in Hebron. All the nation of Israel didn't give him that place. All the saints today don't give him that place. But that's the place that he should have, the preeminent place. Years later, when David was getting old, he got cold. Poses a danger of that. And you know, they were putting a man on the throne that shouldn't have been on the throne at all. Wasn't it Adonijah? He was taking the throne, but of course Solomon ended up on the throne. You know what it took to put him there? It took Nathan, the man that had the word of God, the prophet, and the man that knew what it was to be in God's presence and get words from God. And then it took Zadok, the priest, the worshiper. It took him, the man that knew what it was to be in the presence of the Lord. And then it took Benaniah, the warrior, the man that was willing to contend for the truth and for the food of God's people. And because of these three, the word of God, and the worshiper, the prophet and the priest, and then you have the man that would represent the king, the warrior, because of this, we find that the right man was put on the throne. Is he on the throne of your heart? Is he on the throne, as it were, in God's assembly? If he's not, may God help us to go in for enjoying this place, Hebron. Oh, I hope I live in Hebron. We don't give our homes names in the United States, the way they do in the United Kingdom. I don't know if they do in Canada or not. But I think if I was going to give my home a name, I'd pick this one, Hebron. And I hope it would live up to it as well, to be in fellowship, right? That the traveling days are done to enjoy the fellowship of the Lord Jesus, not the fellowship of zone. The Bible tells us, without going into a lot of details, it says that the princes of zone are fools. And it tells us that zone is going to be burned with fire. That's the kind of a place zone is. That's the world. Am I in fellowship with the world? Or am I in fellowship with the Lord, with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit? And am I in fellowship with God's people? If I'm not, I hope that this will stir up our hearts, that we might get really into that true fellowship and get into the enjoyment of it, because there couldn't be a greater place than Hebron.